Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and your guest co-host tonight for the show that is all about you and your personal stories are Dr. Betty J. Kovach, author of Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, and The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, as well as Forever Family Foundation certified medium Janet Mayer, who is also author of Spirits. They are present. We're looking forward to having your calls this evening because without you, it isn't quite the same. So we want to discuss and explore different kinds of experiences that people have, what they mean, how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Before I give you the call-in numbers for participation in this conversation, I have a few Forever Family announcements for you. The Summer Grief Retreat in Connecticut, as well as the Winter Retreat in Florida, are both filled. However, there are still openings for the Fall Grief Retreat this October in California. So please go to the events page at foreverfamilyfoundation.org to find out more about the October Grief Retreat in California. And last but not least on our list of announcements, there is a summer raffle going on. The drawing will be in June for your chance to win a reading with one of five world-class mediums. You will also find details about this on the events page at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. So welcome. Hi, Betty, and hello, Janet.
Hi, Kim.
Hello. Hi, Kim.
So while we wait for someone to call in, do you want to start, Janet? Do you have something you want to share first while we're waiting?
I forgot to give him the call-in number, have to give me a backup here.
Okay, great. Sure. Let's hear the numbers.
888-621-6008 and 323-744-4831. Sorry, dude.
Great.
Sure.
Hi, Moni. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, hi. Hello. I wanted to stay on the phone a little bit and listen in before. I just have questions, and I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and speak it from my heart. I had a recent loss, very, 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 very close. And, of course, my question is, you know, where do they go? Where do they go? Because it's a complete void for the person who stays behind. And it's going to be 9 months. So my whole question is, like, where do they go? Do they get reincarnated? If they get reincarnated, then how is that soul watching over you? Because it's already reincarnated and in another body. So I don't know. I have all these struggles in my head, and that's primarily my question. It's actually my dad. I was extremely close. So.
Well, I know that Janet will have a lot to say about this, but I would like to just respond to that question about reincarnation. When my son and my husband died, that thought came to me too, Moni, is if they're reincarnated quickly, sometimes that does happen, then how can I be in touch with them if they're in another body and in time and space living
right.
Another life? And that worried me, as I can see that it concerned you. And I realized, and I have no proof of this, it's simply what I intuited and felt on a very deep level, that even when we do reincarnate, that there is, our soul is still in another dimension of reality, as well as time and space, and that they are in our hearts, that soul is in our hearts, connected. Whatever is connected can never be separated. So at least the way I like to describe it to myself and felt so deeply is that they are in my heart, and that also means that part of the soul is still in eternity or in a dimension that is not of time and space, even though they could be living in another body and another life, that soul connection is conscious and there. We don't lose that. And I felt that so deeply, and I found that that's been true, is that they, I don't know whether they've reincarnated or not, but I knew so deeply in my heart that no matter what incarnation they had, we could never be separated, because the connection is in the heart, and that heart is always eternal.
Right. I agree. But that means, like, I obviously, if I'm reincarnated in this life, then where is my connection from my past life?
Well,
I mean, how do...
We're all
connected. It's so confusing, everything. It's so confusing.
Right. Well, let me put my two cents worth here. First of all, when you asked, where are they? Our loved ones are all around us. You know, we're always, because we're in the physical, we always feel like everything is physical. We can touch it, we can do this, and it's always something we can see. When we transition to the other side, when we, you know, when we're no longer, our body is no longer here, our spirit, our soul is still around. It's still here. We can still connect. It doesn't mean they are next to, you know, standing next to you all the time or in the same room with you all the time, but your love, you have so much love for someone that you're sending that energy out. You know, think about, you know, when you see a blacktop and there's heat coming off of it and it's radiating. I mean, think about that as that's the love coming from your soul. It's this energy, and your loved ones can feel that from the other side, and you connect in that way, in a vibration. And because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's just like a radio wave. We don't see the radio waves, but they're there. They're always around us, you know, anything like that. So our loved ones are still around us. It's just because they're not in the physical, we automatically think, well, they're not there anymore, but they really are. And you can ask your father for some signs and ask him to give you something in some way that you will recognize and understand. And it doesn't have to be anything else that anybody else knows of. You know, just something that's, it can be something simple or something personal. And he can give you a sign in some way, okay? And the thing is with that, as far as the reincarnation, the way I feel it works is it's kind of like when we pass or when we come to Earth, there's always a part of us on the other side. It's not like we're fully here, but we're not. There's always a part of us on the other side. So whether we reincarnate or not, I still feel like there's always that connection, and you'll always have that connection, and you'll always recognize it when we leave this, you know, this planet in the physical. We're still there in the kind of in the ethers. You know what I mean?
And you know, Janet, don't you think that our language?
I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our language is strange too, because we speak of the other side, but in truth, it's right here.
Right,
and that's what you're saying, I think, Janet. It's
right, it's right around us. We're right here. We're right next to each other. You know, and it's, and how many times, and I bet too, you know, Moni, you feel, you'll get that sense of him being around you, and you're like, I think I feel his energy, but I don't know where he is, but I know he's here. Just recognize it. Tell them, you know, talk out loud to them. Say, I feel your energy. I know you're with me, or thank you for stopping by. Because when you give them that acknowledgement, then they're going to come back and be like, hey, she felt my energy. Good. I can come back and do it again, you know, and I can be there for her. And then that's how you kind of start a relationship with them in some way, whether it's in a dream state, it's in some other form, you know, it can come through in that way.
Yeah,
I have a lot of dreams initially, and now, I don't know, my sleep pattern is disturbed from all this, but I used to have a lot of dreams, and now I don't. And I'm like, all right, can you please visit me? But even if he has, I haven't. I don't remember.
Right. Okay, Betty?
Did you say it? How many months, Moni? Did you say 9 months?
Eight, almost nine, yeah. And then recently I've been dreaming of babies, but I think my mind, you know, I'm like, okay, are you reincarnating? It takes 9 months. Or, you know, have you obtained that state where you just stay with God? I don't know. I'm just reading, and I think I'm just going a little crazy.
Well, you're not crazy.
No. And I think that, you know, in our culture, we've had so much misinformation and lack of knowledge of the other side, again, that is that full presence of spirit. Another thing that you will hear probably, Moni, down the line, if not now, is that if the soul advances to a higher dimension, then it's much harder to get in touch with souls in time and space. And that was another thing that disturbed me, you know, for a while. I don't think that that has to be so. I think that love is stronger, and that it can be very, it is, not can be, it is very powerful, and that we should not let any of these statements disturb us, and just keep our focus on the fact that we have loved someone, and someone loves us, and that is an energy within the heart and is always present. And we may not get the kind of communication we expect or would like, but I think if we can relax and be open, it's sort of extraordinary things will happen in their own time.
I agree with Betty totally. And it really is, it's love is a vibration that's going to keep that connection. And just, you know, remember that. And instead of questioning yourself so much, why don't you, like, try to accept, like, the thought of him coming through to give you something in some form? And I'm not saying not question. I mean, you know, feel free to question as much as you want. But at the same time, be open to accepting something because, you know, grief will transform you. And it's, you know, you don't think of it that way because you're, you know, going through a lot of sorrow and a lot of heartache. But it's transforming you to open you up to also having that connection with him. And like when you said you weren't getting it in dream states or getting dreams, you know, maybe that's a sign to tell you, hey, I'm going to try to come through in a new way. So pay attention, open up, try something new, you know, sit in a quiet space somewhere or, you know, go walk in the park or, you know, try something different and maybe, you know, he's going to come through to you in a different way. And it doesn't have to be just a dream state. It can be, you know, you're walking down the street and you see a sign and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I know that's him coming through. I mean, it could be something that simple. And when you get recognize that.
I've been waiting for that. I've been waiting for it. I walk a lot and I'm like, all right, give me a sign, give me a sign, show me something. And then I just find myself so desperate.
Well, it will come in time, but you have to allow it to come in their time as well. It's got to kind of mesh between the two of you. That's how I look at it. You know, if it's not ready or it's not time yet, it won't happen, but it will happen. So, you know, just relax with that and be open to that, you know, to that happening.
And, you know, Moni, I think also I had the experience of feeling desperate. I mean, I was actually experiencing them, and then I wasn't. And I started getting so depressed about it. And I remember a friend was here from Hungary, and we watched a Hungarian film movie or about someone in Hungary. And I just was so miserable during the whole time. And I just thought, what happened? Why can't I be with you anymore? What's going on? And I was desperate. That feeling of desperation, I think, kind of blocks the ability for them to come through. But after the film, I was just sitting there. My friend went in to make us a cappuccino. And then I just felt their voices saying, can we come back now? What do you think? Is it okay to come back now? And then what they explained to me is that even if I'm not experiencing them, the fact that I'm not feeling that horrible depression, if I let that go, I'm feeling comfortable because they are present. And if I would allow myself to feel comfortable and know they're present, that they could come through more easily.
Right. And also, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, you have to be kind to yourself. You know, like you're like, oh, I'm waiting, I want this. It's like you have to also remind yourself, you know, I can, it's okay. It's going to happen and it will happen. Yeah. And you have to take care of yourself and be kind to yourself. And I think that, you know, these are all little pieces that kind of help along the way.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Call us again if you want to, Moni.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Sense that both sides have to be ready at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That he would need to be ready and you would need to be receptive and ready too. And we have three callers on the line. So we thank Moni for calling in and would like to welcome Sharon from Florida onto the call with us. Hi, Sharon.
How are you? It's such a delight to talk to you because, you know, ever since I was a tiny child, I've seen things, and my mother did too, and her grandmother did too. And so I just want to share with you something very, very special because we always talk about signs.
Mm-hmm.
I married my first husband. We were both in theater. I was a professional actress. He was a director and a writer, and he was 35 years older than me. So we talked about, obviously, that he would probably go first, and he said he would come back to me. He would leave me signs. Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, I saw pennies everywhere and butterflies, and I talked to the butterflies, and they'd come and land on my hand and so forth. But I was looking for the big sign, and when did I get it without even looking for it? Like you said, you have to be receptive. So I just want to share with you quickly what happened. I went down to his writer's studio. This is only like maybe 3 weeks after he passed over. And I found myself reaching for a cassette on the wall. Now, you know, this was back in 2003. So I picked up this cassette without thinking, put it in the thing, and here he is talking to me. And he said, "Hello, Sharon. Last night was a beautiful night. Tonight will be a beautiful night because of you. You are what makes them so special." And I'm thinking, when did he make this? Because in his weakened state, there's no way he could have walked down the steps all the way across our property to make this cassette in his studio. Well, the cassette was done, but I heard him still talking to me, as you probably are familiar, in my mind. And he said, "You're going to go back on stage." So, of course, I spoke out loud. I said, "No, I'm not. I don't feel like doing that right now." He said, "No, you're going to go back on stage, and you're going to write a one-woman show." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, and I'm going to help you write it." And I thought, oh, my gosh, this was the awakening for me. So I had never written a show. I mean, my background is music. I was a professional singer, actress, and I still am. But what happened is I said, okay. So I would get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, still wearing his pajamas and his slippers, and I sat down in the living room. Now, he used to write on yellow-lined legal tablets. Mm-hmm. And as you know, when someone passes away, you clean up everything because people come to call, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I kept finding new tablets, things I had never, ever seen before, and lo and behold, I would start to write the show. And at night, I'd say to him, "Well, this doesn't sound right. Something's not working." He said, "Go to bed. We'll work on it in the morning." Next morning, I wake up again. I'm reaching for another tablet, and sure enough, there is the missing piece that I needed. It was like it was writing itself. And then,
wow,
on top of that, I wrote 20 songs. Now, I don't remember how in the world I wrote these songs. I mean, I'm a professional musician, so I know the structure of the song and so forth. But I can honestly tell you, I did not write those songs. I definitely know I did not. I was not alone in this process. So here it is. You talk about time being ready. I went back to teaching and so forth. But now my show is called Flutter By, like butterfly, Flutter By the Metamorphosis. Because as you know, grief does transform you. And I can say that when he was passing away at the hospital, because I had to sign the papers, you know, and remove all the tubes and everything, I never cried. I did not cry. And it's kind of like I had a mission. And I saw him as he was weakening, and I was watching the monitor, and his eyes were going back and forth like a clock. I felt he was in his chrysalis. It's like we're in our bodies as a cocoon. Mm-hmm. We're undeveloped. This is just the beginning of our life, and he was transforming already into the spirit world, and that's when he gained his wings. So I have so much more to say about it. I don't want to clog the lines, obviously, but and I'm also writing a book because there's so much stuff that has happened to affirm that there is eternal life, and through it's our loving God that we were able to communicate, I feel, with our loved ones.
Oh, you were,
when do you think that he made that video, Sharon? The cassette.
Oh, he did, but isn't it amazing? I reached for out of a whole wall. Oh. I didn't even know. I had a cup of coffee in one hand. It was a cold February morning. He died February 7th. And the 7s, by the way, are everything. He was born July 4th, 7-4. I was born 4-7, the opposite. And it's just incredible, numerically, what's going on in my life. But, yeah, for me to have found that, and I needed something, and there it was. I was going down there to be near his stuff, because that's how I found solace. By wearing his socks and wearing his shirts and, you know, all the physical things you're missing.
Sure.
So, and then, you know, it just came on like that. And I'm now previewing my show. Here it is. You know, I'm now 66. Finally, I've got my wings to get the show going. So,
is the show, what is the title of the show again?
It's a one-woman show, and it's called Flutterby, The Metamorphosis.
Flutterby. And you probably don't know the name of your book yet?
It might be Keep the Lights On, because that's what we always said to each other, but the book is not written yet. It's only in its initial stages, because I've been trying to finish my one-woman show. And, you know, when you're a creative person, you're never finished. And it's always something you want to that's a picture of it. And I'm a former teacher, too, so everything is always like, oh, what can I do to make it better? So...
Can you finish it? Here, come back and tell us the title. Tell us about the book.
Right. I'd love to. I really appreciate you having me on. By the way, I am a member of your Forever Family Foundation. I tell all my friends about it because on Facebook there are so many people who are grieving. And you're out there to encourage people, and it's a wonderful thing that you do. Thank you.
I think it's wonderful what you did, too. I mean, you were definitely channeling your husband, you know, and if that's... It's a beautiful story, so I hope that also helps other people who are listening.
Inspiring, for sure.
Show. So.
Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For sure. Thank you. That's so great. We have Susan from California. Hello, Susan. Susan, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yes. Perfect.
Yes? Okay, good. I wanted to just first say that I've never called into the show. I didn't even know about it. But you three ladies keep coming up in my life.
Okay.
In all different ways. Dr. Kovacs, I watched your documentary yesterday. I mean, it's just so weird that this three keep coming up, and I think the reason is because I also, when I first started to understand that my mother was with me, I started with near-death experiences. I found the Forever Family Foundation. I found a certified psychic medium who I 100% trusted. This was about 8 or so years ago. But I do want to tell my story of why I was a believer, because I was actually an atheist for most of my life. My mother died in 1975, and I was 15 years old. And, of course, losing a parent is very, very difficult. But, you know, there was also lots of other things going on. It was a very chaotic family that we lived in. My father was an alcoholic. And fast forward, I just want to tell you, I ended up shutting down, well, even before my mother died, I ended up shutting down all of my strange experiences, because when I talked about them, I was told I was crazy. So I knew I couldn't really talk about them. And then what happened was, I'm from Canada originally, and about 8 years ago, we were moving here to California, to Northern California, just outside of San Francisco. And my husband, who is an atheist, he went ahead of myself and my daughter. And so I had a couple of months where I was alone. I was like, ooh, I could do what I want. I'm going to find a medium. I'm going to see if my mother will come through. I always felt her presence. But I, you know, I, being an atheist, being the, a science-based person, and that's why, Dr. Kovacs, I adore you, it was really hard for me because I felt that I needed something concrete. So she didn't really come that first reading. She very much came through with Renee Buck, who was the medium that I contacted with.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she, amazing. And I call her a teacher because she has been much more than just a medium to me. And so what happened was she came through in the reading, and I think it was the year after it was Mother's Day. And Renee had told me I could talk aloud to her, and I had never done that before. So I said, you know, Mom, it's Mother's Day. Could you maybe, possibly, just give me some sort of a concrete sign, like something? I know people get pennies and butterflies, and I don't see any of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Mother's Day passed, and nothing happened. Because, as you know, spirits like to come when they're ready to come.
Right.
The next day, I was alone in our home. My husband was at work. My daughter was at school. And I had been cleaning the house. And I'm a minimalist. I don't like stuff on counters and things like that. And I had just finished cleaning, and I'd gone to the washroom, or the restroom, rather. That's my Canadian. And I came out, and there was a stone sitting on the counter that was not there before. And it was kind of I still have it, of course. It's like a pinkish-based stone, and it's somewhat in the shape of a heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I picked it up, and I put it to my chest, and I was like, because I called her Mummy. I said, Mummy, thank you. And I kept looking at it, and it hit me. So we are, even though I follow spiritualism and I don't follow any particular religion, I was born Jewish and our family was Jewish. And in the Jewish tradition, when you go to visit someone's gravesite, you pick up a stone and you put it on their headstone.
Oh my
and
goodness.
And that's just a way of saying, I'm here, I see you, I feel you, I love you.
Oh, that's so touching.
And that is what started me on this amazing journey. And now myself, I am full. I'm a member of the Spiritualist Church. I'm taking evidential mediumship courses because after that, the signs just kept coming and coming and coming. And I knew that if I opened my heart, I would be able to tap into a universe that we can't see, feel, or taste, but we know is there. And that's what's happened to me. This was about 8 years ago. I'm 61 years old. Never thought I would be in this place in my life. And I just wanted to thank you because I really do feel Forever Family Foundation has really brought me to this place. And now I'm in a place where I'm kind of retired. And now I feel that, this is my time. I tell everybody I'm back at school now. Now it's my time to study. And
that's
I just
good.
Study.
Yeah.
I study, physics and everything. And I never felt as much joy in my life as I have. So
that's
thank
wonderful.
You very,
you've
very much.
Wonderful.
A new mission.
It's a beautiful
story.
Beautiful story. That the stone so touches my heart. I love that.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan, so
thank
much.
Thank you,
Susan.
Okay. Bye.
Fantastic. Have a good rest of the evening, Susan. Before we take our call with Diane, I just want to give the numbers out again. And Diane, thank you in advance for waiting while we enjoyed such long conversations so far. Their number to reach us this evening to talk about your own personal experience is 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And hello, Diane.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. My mom passed away in 2010, and we had to make the decision to put her in hospice, and she was still she was still cognizant when we put her in hospice, and we were, you know, my sister, myself, and my two kids were there, and we were talking with her, and I got her alone for a minute, you know, and we were having conversation, and I said to her, she was aware that she was going to pass, and she was graciously accepting it with no, her answer to us when, you know, we told her, she said, I had a really good life, and it's okay. And that made me feel so much better that she wasn't scared, because there was no fear in her at all. She was not a big woman, my mom. We call her, we would always say, you know, she be tiny, but she be fierce. I said to her, I said, could you listen to me for just 1 minute? And she said, sure. And I said, when you get to the other side, I said, could you give Daddy a hug for me and tell him I love him? I said, the second thing I want you to do for me, I said, is when it's my time to cross over, that you would be there to greet me. I said, and the third thing I want you to do for me, I said, and if you can't do the other two, this is the most important thing to me. I said, you need to send me a clear sign that you're safe. And she said, okay. And, you know, she started to drift, and I put my hand on her, and I said, it's okay to go, Mom. And she opened one eye, and she said, I will let you know when I'm ready. said, okay.
So there.
So she was funny. I was sitting next to her, and the hospice nurse came in and told me not to hold her hand. And I said, why not? And she said, because you're grounding her here. She said, you're keeping her. She said, put your hand on top of her hand. Don't clasp it. And I said, okay. So that's what I did. And I was sitting next to her, and I was watching her. And I had the privilege of seeing my mother take her last breath. And I thought, we've come full circle, Mom. You saw me take my first breath. I've now seen you take your last. Mm. And that to me was such a gift. Mm. And we waited, you know, we sat with her for a little bit, and then I said, I need to call home and let my husband know that she passed, because they were very close, and unfortunately he couldn't be with us because he had to help take care of the grandchildren. So I called him, and I said, Bill, you know, Mom's gone. And he said, Di, can I call you right back? He said, somebody's at the front door. So I said, sure. So he called me back about 5 minutes later, and I said, who was at the door? And he said, nobody. He said, the doorbell rang. He said, I went to answer the door, and there was nobody there. He said, I walked out, and I looked down the street, and there was not a soul in the street. And I said to him, Mom's home. Yep. She let us know she was home. And my doorbell hasn't worked since. Thank you, Mom.
my human system.
But I mean, I just thought that, you know, people tell me, you know, Diane, that's coincidence. Don't be ridiculous. No. And I said,
that's beautiful.
You know what? I said, that's absolutely fine if you need to believe that. I said, but that's, I asked her for something and she got it for me.
She was quick about it.
She was very quick about it. And she waited so long. My father died in 1981, and she died in 2010. So she was just so lonely for him. And we would play, when she was in her coma, we put earphones on her, and we played tapes with his voice so she could hear him. You know, and I just thought maybe this will help her and calm her down and maybe make her passing. But I have to say her passing was, if it can be, beautiful. It really was. It was peaceful. I was so thankful that there was no struggle, no pain. She just went beautifully.
I was so happy
for that. You know, and I just wanted to say, Sharon, that called a couple callers back, I need to thank her, because I just lost my life partner in January, and he was also a writer as well, and people our, we were in the middle of, we had written books together before, and we were writing a book, and it was my fault that it wasn't finished because I was dragging my feet, and people keep saying to me, you need to finish that book, and I keep saying I can't do it without him. You know, I just can't do it without him. And she's given me a little inspiration and a little hope that maybe one day I can finish that book.
Might really be what you needed to hear tonight.
Exactly.
I know. I was absolutely shocked, you know, to hear that because, I know a lot of people are writers, but, I mean, what are the odds, you know, that I'm going to be listening to this and she's talking about how her husband inspired her. And I have been trying really hard. I've been told I have mediumship talent. I never believed that. You know, I just thought that's something people say to you. You know, they say, oh, yeah, you could do this. But I really want to do it because I need to connect with him that way. And mm-hmm. I have been searching everywhere. And every time I turn around, no one reaches back out to me. I call people, I reach out, I leave messages, and I get no answers from anybody. So somebody told me to buy a book called The Psychic Pathway, and they said, start reading that, and maybe that will help. You know, I just don't know what to do, where to turn. I'm a forever family member as well, but I just don't know where to turn to find, you know, somebody that can teach me, somebody that could work with me and let me know whether or not I'm wasting my time or whether I will be able to do this, because I need to do it for me.
There are different mediums. There are many mediums within Forever Family Foundation that do offer courses or classes, so you may want to look into that. They also have a big list of books on the Forever Family site that, you know, and that's a good way to start as well, is to start reading a lot of the books and connecting in your own way. You know, there's lessons and you can, you know, go to different classes, but you can also learn on your own in the sense of how it works for you. What do you get the best?
Right.
Do you sense it? You know, how do you sense it? Do you see it? Do you feel it? And start paying attention to that and writing that down as well. You know, and you were listening to this because Sharon called in and you did have to have that connection. That was kind of a sign in a way. That was someone on the other side saying, hey, pay attention tonight. You know, there's something you need to learn here. And you tuned in right away and picked up on it. And that's you gave us a beautiful story. And really, all the stories we're hearing are pretty amazing in themselves. But, you know, you have to look at that, too. Like, okay, I was just given this from Sharon, who I don't even know. And, you know, now I can go to the next step. And you can kind of work on your own path as well. And don't just say, you know, I'm not getting help from this person or that person. Start going within and saying, okay, help me find it, you know, and be open to what's coming up around you, too. Okay.
You know, you're absolutely right. Do you think if you started, just sat down and started writing, that might be the medium through which you would experience help from your husband?
I don't know. You know, I have been so reluctant to even look at anything because it's just, this is pretty new for me. And, you know, I'm just being able to hold it together. You know, mm-hmm. I've gotten to the point where I'm not crying, like, you know, five times a day. You know, now it's down to a couple of times a day, you know.
Yeah.
So I have not been able to really, I mean, he used to lecture. I have his lectures. We lectured together all the time. We've done over 700 lectures together.
Nice.
And I can never do that again. That I will never do again because we were a team. It couldn't just be me, you know. But I was talking with him last night. I do every night, you know, and when I'm driving in the car, I talk with him. But I was talking with him last night, and I have two grandsons. One's a senior in high school, one's a freshman in high school, and they were having a baseball game today. And the team is doing okay, but my grandson hasn't been hitting really well. And I said to Joey last night, I said, listen, I said, could you do me a favor? I said, could you let one of the boys hit a home run? I said, just, I said, let the older one do it. You know, I said, but I really want him to hit a home run. And I found out that my grandson hit a home run tonight.
Oh, my God. Oh, yay!
That couldn't be easy. So, pretty present, it seems.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, Diane, can I also add something? I'd like to also add that, you know, grief, with what's one thing, too, for you is, you know, there obviously is many changes, but I want you to also look at this, too, as, you know, because of losing your husband, you now have to embark on a new journey. And so, like you're saying, I'll never do, you know, what you've done in the past. I'll never do that again. And that's okay, because that was what you were supposed to do at that time. And now you're learning something new that you have to do. So when you go into this, you know, new journey, it's going to be difficult, of course, without your husband. But also I want you to look at it like the universe is giving you new opportunities. And so also look for those, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
That's nice. Tremendous potential.
Right.
I hope so. Thank you so much for the encouragement and the support. It's so greatly appreciated.
Oh, well, thank you, Diane, for calling.
Thank you. And that half-written book is going to get finished, I bet you, when you're ready.
Yes.
It will be.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you, too.
Diane.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
We have Jackie calling in from Ohio. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
How are you?
You. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I just got lucky. I don't know. The first time I tried to call and I got in, so I got pretty lucky. I was actually calling in to try and just listen to some of the people's stories that they had to share.
Do you have one that you want to share with us, or any questions or concerns about the subject matter that you want to comment on?
Well, I have a lot of stories that I could share. They're all very special. I have a grandson he'll be 23 in July. He was killed on the highway at the, 2 days after Christmas, 2019.
Sorry. Wow.
And it's been a rough year, to say the least.
Right.
Great kid. And he always called me Nana. And when he was little, I recorded him on a five-sided cube. And when you push the button, all you hear is, Nana, Nana, Nana. Mm. And in the last year, that cube has gone off four different times at times for me that were pretty dark, pretty sad. And at times when I've really missed him and needed to hear him or to get a sign from him, but he was killed 2 days after Christmas. And on New Year's Eve, I was asleep and that cube went off and I sat straight up in bed. Now that cube is on the bottom shelf of a desk in a room, two rooms away from me. And you literally have to push the button to get it to work.
Wow.
So whatever made that cube go off, I have no idea, but it's done it four different times in the last year.
Wow. That's pretty amazing if you have to push it to get it to go off.
Right.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reminder.
It's not motion detected. You know, it's not like if you walk by it, it'll go off. It's not that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on the bottom shelf behind something else in my office, and it's gone off. Four different times.
That would be so moving to have that happen
in your
hour of need.
And you know what?
I think that's
a reminder that he's letting you know that he isn't in the past. He's right here with you in the future. in the present and will be with you in the future. And I think that that is a beautiful story to share for the simple fact to remind everyone else that is listening, that when our loved ones pass, they're not gone. They're not, that's not it. It's not, you know, period, end of the story. It's, they're still here. And he was just letting you know. It's a big reminder to say, hey, I'm still here, Nana. I'm here. And he's letting you know that, you know. And I think that's a beautiful story because he's reminding you. And when you said it was in a dark, you know, part of your life or something going on, he felt that energy. You know, our loved ones feel that when, you know, they are really right next to us. They feel that energy. And he was trying to give you support, I think. I mean, that's what it comes across to me. And I think that for you to get that, and like you said, you have to press the button for that to happen.
Yeah,
you know, just
absolutely.
Like the one of the callers who had the stone, I think was that Sharon, she had the stone on the counter. I'm like, that's an apport. I mean, you're getting, you know, something from your loved ones. And I think that's really amazing and beautiful, you know, at the same time.
Oh, well, today is the 27th, and he was killed on the 27th, and that day of the month is always really, really tough for me. Mm-hmm. And he was my first grandchild and my only grandson, and he was a great kid and he had a lot ahead of him.
Yeah. How old, Jackie, did you say he was when he died?
21.
Oh, that's so young. That's such a difficult way for someone to go. I mean, for those of us who are here,
it is.
Yeah, it. You know, we had his funeral the first week in January. 6 days later, my very favorite special niece passed away, and then a month later, my grandson's grandfather on the other side passed away, and then we had COVID for the whole year, and everybody's life was interrupted.
Right.
So it's
certainly a beautiful story, though, that his voice four times came through without pushing the button.
That's right. And like Janet always says, we always just have to give thanks to Spirit when they are able to
get through,
communicate with us.
Right.
And imagine the energy actually to do that.
Yeah. Thank you for calling and sharing that with us, Jackie.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm registered to go to the winter retreat in Fort Myers. My daughter and I are going.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, that's very good.
We are so excited and so looking forward to that.
Yeah,
they're very healing times, and we just will be thinking about you and
just remember, one day at a time.
On you.
That's right.
Thank you again for calling.
Thank you, Jackie.
Sure, thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have two callers on the line. The first one is Janet. Excuse me, I didn't do that well. The first one is Lana from Boston. Hi. Are you there, Lana?
Hello. Hello, how are you, ladies?
Hello.
Oh, boy, I'm so excited. I am so excited to finally get through to you people. I thank you all so much, first of all. You know, just listening to these stories and just listening to all of you being so present, I want to first thank all of you for creating this space for all of these people that, you know, are looking for their own light within them. And not only that, but looking for that more hope and inspiration. And knowing that we can't convince anybody of anything, it's just such a beautiful space, what you're doing.
Thank you.
So I can't express that enough. But I know earlier you were speaking about, and I wanted to just have a minute, first of all, about near-death experiences. And even though, you know, people try to contact their loved ones that have passed, and I do believe in blocking, or if they're not ready to be open to receive, and you know, Spirit is all around us, and I do believe that. Not only that, but even myself, I've had three near-death experiences, so I already know what it's like to be on the other side.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes it's more of a struggle, and I do understand that, for people to love that their loved ones have passed. But I will tell you, not just from my own experience and other people, I am a spiritual medium. I've been doing it most of my life. But from my own experience, if people can just stay in that presence of their loved ones, of their love, of their memories, and I'm not going to say none of us will ever, will always experience grief, but if they can find that love within them, even though we do grieve, and compassion is so important, there is never a timeline when you're supposed to stop grieving. You know, and right. I do truly believe that.
No, that's true.
I feel
true.
Like I'm babbling.
No, that's true. Like I'm babbling. I mean, that's a good point. That's true. I mean, we all, you know, there's no timeline. And I think that that's something that when people realize that, it becomes, you know, more comforting. I know it sounds strange when I say that, but it is knowing that, you know, that there isn't a timeline and that we all grieve in our own way and in our own time. And we also learn in our own way as far as connecting with a loved one, and that's important too.
Exactly. And, you know, even, you know, like some people, it's about their beliefs or religion. It's in per se, I would say it's not. I believe that truly everyone has that love within them. And if they can find that love, even through their loss, at some point in their life, they will always have that within them. They may not be able to physically see them, like you were saying earlier, but their energy and their spirit is always around us. I do truly believe that. I'm so grateful that you have this show. I've been trying to get through for so many times because either I'm busy or I can't get through. And I am a member. I've been trying to get through and, you know, with COVID hit and stuff like that. So I just don't know either, which I was going to ask you, if there's any events coming up. I know with COVID, I'm not sure, within the Forever Foundation or even going through the certification and all that. Which I've already tried reaching out to many people about that.
The best place to go to find out the answer to that question is the events page on Forever Family Foundation's website, and it's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And I don't know if you were listening at the top of the hour, but the summer and winter grief retreats have been filled, and there are still openings for the fall retreat in October in California. And those details are available on the events page. And so that's a good place to look. And so...
Yeah, I did look at that. But I've been really trying to get more active within the Forever Foundation. So maybe I'll just directly, you know, email you yourself if you don't mind. But I just... Yes, and I don't want to hold anybody else's spot, but I can't thank you enough for having this. It is so comforting for other people and the time and the space that you create for others and just really listening to others. So I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
You.
I think we got inspired from it, too.
That's right. Thank you for calling
in.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye.
You too. Now, Genevieve, are you still on the line? Genevieve from New York?
Yes, I am. Yes, okay. I am.
We just have, like, a couple of moments.
Oh, if you don't get to say what you want to say, you could call us next time. But
let's go ahead and see what we can get in the next couple of minutes.
Sure. I'll cut to the chase. So first, thank you for the show. I do appreciate it. But I'll cut to the chase. I was curious about whether or not spirit can communicate through children, because I lost my mother about 10 months ago. And I had an experience where she had gone into the hospital to have a surgery done, and my sister was with her. And we were waiting for her to, you know, wake up, be discharged, and come home. She did take some medications around the clock, and one of the reminders on Alexa, and the Alexa system went off and said, you know, time to take this medication. And my daughter said, stopped the reminder and said, stop, Alexa. And I said, why did you do that? And she said, because grandma's gone. And I kid you not, the next moment I got a text message from my sister saying, oh, my God, something's horribly wrong. They're all running into the room. There's a code, and she's not breathing anymore. And that is when, you know, we lost her. So that was one incident.
Yes. They definitely are in tune.
Yeah.
Children are definitely in tune.
Now, she, you know, when I asked her, why did you say that, she said, oh, I didn't mean that. I just meant that she's gone. But the way that she said it so chilled me, you know, mm-hmm. It really felt like she was telling me, like I felt like there was a universe telling me she's gone somehow. Although my daughter said I didn't, that's not how I meant it, or I don't think I meant it that way. And then some weeks later, when all of us, my sister and I and my father were really just mourning, you know, really missing her, we decided to sort of do something and just have a dinner and set a plate for her, you know, and talk as though she were present, because I thought, well, if there is something afterwards, surely she would come to this. And we were sort of talking as though she were still a part of our lives and asking, would she like this and that? And we felt that she was talking to my 4-year-old son and saying, he was telling us, yes, she's saying it's just right, that, and that she'd like it like her apple pie with ice cream on top, you know, and warmed up a little bit, and all these things that she exactly would say with exactly the wording she would say it. So I was curious about, you know, that, if there's like some way in which they could actually speak through children who are young like that.
Well, you know, children aren't, they're not under the impression that they're supposed to believe or think a certain way when someone passes, so they're totally open. So, yes, I think it's a lot easier even for children to communicate with the loved ones that are now, you know, who have transitioned. So I think that's, you know, yes, that is wonderful to hear that, because that means they're open too. So that's, I think that's really, I mean, I don't want to say it's cool, but it's a really neat thing that they got to be able to experience that, and you know, the whole family got to see that. So that's really a really beautiful story.
Really meaningful. We did get very choked up.
Totally.
She felt very present. She felt very present through some of the comments that my son made that evening.
Wow.
Thank you. That was really the only question. It was just, you know, just a curiosity.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank
really
you.
Nice. Nice note to end on.
It is.
Thank you so much, Genevieve.
Thank you. Have a good night. God bless.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Same to you.
Wow, what a gift, you know, that she received from the children, you know. That's really beautiful.
That's, what a gift he received, too. That's pretty darn special.
Yeah, it is.
He might frame his life in a very
different way.
I love that.
Right.
That is so beautiful. So just a reminder to all our listeners, the Forever Family Foundation Summer Raffle is still going on. The drawing will be in June, and you will have an opportunity to win 1 of 5 world-class mediumship readings. Details are on the events page at Forever Family Foundation, where you can register. How about Janet? You want to give us our closing prayer?
Sure. Okay. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe, and may we all together complete the spiritual journey. And that's it for tonight.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Yes, good night.